Thought Leader Thursdays are sponsored by Associated Bank. Whether you're buying, building, or refinancing a home, Associated Bank is dedicated to finding the right mortgage solution for you. Visit associatedbank.com/thoughtleadership. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
We're on This Morning with Don Lloyd from Associated Bank. Don, good morning and Happy New Year.
Steve, good morning. Thanks for having me back, and Happy New Year. Hard to believe it's been over 3 years since we've been doing this.
Yeah, and here's to a much better year than last year for everybody involved. Before we get underway here, Don, I want you to remind people what you do there at Associated Bank.
Yep, I run the capital markets trading desk at Associated Bank, which is a fancy way of saying we handle all the foreign exchange hedging, interest rate swap hedging, and commodity derivative hedging for the bank. Been doing that about 13 or 14 years here.
I want to begin with how things are looking so far into the new year. I know we've been watching the dollar and some other international markets. Let's start with the dollar. What do you see here, and is there any way to sort of guess what's going to be coming through the year?
Yeah, it's pretty exciting. You know, we're coming out of, you know, this whole COVID-19 now that we've got a vaccination that seems to be taking hold and working a little bit. So, you know, we're actually coming out of a black swan event. And, you know, for those listeners who's not sure what a black swan is, or they've never heard about it, a black swan is anything that is an outlier beyond the range of normal events. So unexpected things that impact the market that haven't been planned for or haven't been thought of before. And COVID-19 is one of that. I mean, if you think 18 months ago, you know, where we weren't even thinking about a pandemic. We weren't even thinking about anything like this. And the idea that the economy and the global economy is pretty much shut down because of that, that's a black swan. Now, historically, when the FX markets come out of black swan events, there is a very high probability that we're in for a sustained, measured move. That's what it's called, a sustained, measured move. It's pretty much of a trending market. And we're seeing that right now. We're seeing the dollar weaken, currency strengthen. And it's making for a lot of fun in the market, a lot of activity. It was a very strong end of the year in the foreign exchange market as companies came out to hedge their future exposure because they were concerned about a weakening dollar. And that's what we're seeing right now, Steve.
This movement, from an investment standpoint, is it a good movement or a concerning movement?
From my standpoint, any movement is good, whether it's a strong dollar or a weak dollar. And when the foreign exchange market, it all depends on what side of the ledger you fall on. If you're an exporter, if you're selling goods into countries abroad, it's a good thing because you are selling your product, you know, for a higher price. If you're selling goods into Europe, for example, you're receiving euros and you're converting those euros to U.S. dollars because the exchange rate has moved in your benefit. You're getting more dollars for the euros you're converting. On the other hand, if you're an importer, if you are sourcing goods and services, say again, as an example, from Europe, you are paying more for those goods and services. So your raw material or your price of your widgets that go into production costs, those are going up. And if you're not hedged, that flows straight to your bottom line. So, Steve, it really depends on what side of the ledger you're on, if you're an exporter or an importer, whether it's good or bad.
You mentioned the coronavirus vaccine, and I think we're all pretty excited that that's started to hit arms all around the world, and there has been an uptick in economic activity. Does it look like this is a sustained, or are we possibly headed for another hit, or how would you predict this out?
I think the market really thinks this is going to be a sustained event. If you take a look at PMI, Purchasing Managers Index, and again, that's on a scale of 0 to 1 in an absolute number. Anything above a 0.5 is considered economic expansion. And if you take a look at countries around the world, every one of them is above 0.5 when it comes to the manufacturing PMI. The world is in economic expansion right now. And many of these countries, their PMI is higher than it was prior to COVID-19. So I think that event right there, that the world is seeing this economic rebound that's coming and has taken hold as a very positive sign. On the other hand, you've got also real U.S. interest rates that are very, very low. Real interest rates are basically the nominal interest rate less inflation. And that's very, very low in the U.S. Inflation expectations are starting to tick up because of the economic expansion. So what you're seeing is monies being moved into riskier type investments. And one of those areas is emerging markets, those countries that are involved in emerging markets. Or as the economy, the global economy expands, the emerging markets tend to sit there and do very well. So that's where you're seeing money move into right now. And I think this can be sustained for quite a while.
You know, 2020 saw a lot of people just on the sidelines waiting and watching. And I've seen a number of different analysts say that 2021 will be those people coming off of the sidelines, taking advantage of that economic growth. Is that something that you see as well?
Yep. When you watch the hot money, and the hot money is basically the liquid money that's out there that's looking for some type of return for some amount of risk. It's really the big part of the foreign exchange market that moves cross-border. It's constantly looking for return versus some risk. It's called hot money because it moves very quickly, and it's very sensitive to real rates of exchange. That is the money that's moving right now, and that's usually a big precursor for the direction of the FX markets as a whole. I mean, you're also seeing economic rebound and economic activity pick up as well, but it all starts with that hot money moving.
Yeah, we have been talking, it seems now, for years and years about Brexit, and that has finally moved into the action category. We're going to have David Fowler on next week to talk. He's our Brexit expert from Associated Bank, but I'd be remiss if I didn't talk to you about it since we have had it as a topic so many times. It's finally happened.
It has. And, you know, I think one of, if not the first time that I joined your discussion in the morning, we talked about Brexit, you know, 3.5 years ago, whenever that was. And here we are, December 31st, 2020 has come and gone. The UK has withdrawn. They are out of the European Union, and they're sort of free floating again and causing quite a disturbance in the market. But there's a lot of change that's happening very quickly, a lot of wrinkles that have to get ironed out. And they're in the process of doing that right now.
Yeah, I was watching specifically some different regulations that were put in place at the last minute as we left 2020 that sort of avoided some chaos going forward. Can you talk a little bit about that and what investors should be wary about?
Sure. Probably the one that's sort of grabbed the headlines right now and in the middle of things, you know, is the whole challenge of interest rate swaps, those hedging products that are there to hedge or to reduce risk of those companies that have floating rate debt. So if you've borrowed money and it's based on, you know, whether it's LIBOR or some floating rate index, as interest rates go up, your interest payments go up. Well, when the UK was part of the EU, the European Union, a UK entity could very easily trade with a European counterparty and vice versa. A European entity could very easily trade with a UK counterparty. It's the whole basis of why the European Union existed. It's called the Four Freedoms. The single market, the European Union, was basically founded on four freedoms: the free movement of goods, the free movement of capital, the free movement of persons or people, and the free movement of services. And when the UK was part of the European Union, they had those freedoms. So you could be a UK bank and sell your interest rate swap products to European Union companies. Now that the UK is out of the European Union, that agreement no longer exists. And that's a $200 billion a day market, the interest rate swap market. So all of a sudden, they have to renegotiate and come to some agreement because the UK is no longer part of the European Union. So, my gosh, sounds easy enough, except the markets are open today. They were open on Monday. They were open, you know, right after the new year started, and these agreements weren't in place. And it sort of sent the market into a little bit of disruption and chaos because participants were like, well, how can we service our customers in the EU? How can the EU entities service their customers in the UK? And that's why the Financial Conduct Authority, the FCA, which is basically the regulators of regulators, they are that's the entity over in the UK that has the final say pretty much on everything. They came in and they gave temporary approval for UK entities to deal with European Union-based counterparties just to facilitate trade. And that's on a temporary basis. They're going to review it in March of 2020 and hopefully come to some formal agreement on the flow of that. Now, it's still got to happen on the European Union side. They've got to come to some agreement with the UK so European Union entities can trade with UK counterparties. But the FCA was the first to take the step. So, you know, let's start off 2021 with a big bang, and we certainly have.
Anything else on the global scene that is on your radar screen? I saw something that was happening in Iran in the Persian Gulf about Forex trading and import. Is that of importance to you? Are there other hot spots?
Yeah, you know, on the global front, it will have some importance. Yeah, let's take a step back because, you know, a lot of times because of trade restrictions and the attitude that the U.S. has towards Iran, you know, the Iranian rial really isn't traded very much in the United States because of these trade restrictions. And we've had these trade restrictions and limitations since really 1979 when the U.S. embassy in Tehran was attacked. The U.S. sort of broke off relationships there and put these restrictions in. And they've been pretty much in place, ebbing and flowing to some degree. You know, the trade is not entirely restricted. There are certain things that can be traded, vitamins, for example, sutures, for example, you know, little things like that. You know, it's under $100 million, not billion, but under $100 million of trade. It's very, very small that we have on Iran. But, you know, these restrictions have been in place. So what happens is that the Iranian rial is a freely floating currency. It's not pegged to the U.S. dollar. It's not pegged, period. It floats freely. But it's very much controlled by the Iranian government, by the Iranian authorities. They keep a pretty tight control over the exchange rate. It's very volatile over there. The Iranian dinar the Iranian rial in 2000, for the past 20 years, has been anywhere from 1,700 rial per dollar up to 43,000 rial per dollar. That's a big range. That's a big depreciation of their Iranian rial. So what's happened is that as the currency fluctuates, floats freely, there are import charges that are put on by the Iranian authorities for any import coming in to Iran. Now, the U.S. doesn't send a lot over there, so it's not going to really impact the U.S. all that much. But it does impact the three big countries that trade with Iran, Germany, the U.K., and France. And what they did is that the Iranian authority basically sat back and said, well, wait a minute, we're charging X amount of rial for imports, but the exchange rate has weakened so much, we need to move that and change that. And they did. They moved that from roughly 45,000 rial up to 175,000 rial per whatever on imports coming into Iran. So that was sort of what that news was. Does it affect the United States? No, not really, because we have very, very small trade with Iran going on right now, and probably will for the foreseeable future, given the Iranian nuclear agreement that we sort of withdrew from.
Don, great conversation as always. How can people get a hold of you and have a one-on-one if they want?
Yep, trading desk number available anytime. If I'm not there, one of 15 people will pick up, and that number is 866-524-8836. Pick up the phone, give a call. Would love to chat with you.
All right. We'll see you next time, Don.
Okay. Thanks, Steve. I appreciate it. Bye-bye.